You're listening to Bible Prophecy Daily, a weekday podcast where Bible prophecy matters and matters greatly.
Hello again, this is Bob Hunt of Zion's Hope in Winter Garden, Florida. I'd like to welcome you to Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 through 18, to a session that I've labeled Marked for Death. This is part two of three, and we'll continue to look at this topic of the mark of the beast, which does lead to death. So I'd like to welcome you to this session. This series of messages focuses in on the mark of the beast, his number, and his name. Back in session one, we looked at the purpose, which was to bring worship to the beast. We looked at the reason for the mark, which was to identify both those who will worship the beast and those who will not worship the beast, to kind of weed them out, sort of like Satan doing his old wheat and tares thing. We looked at the consequences, the economic harshness, and the reality of potential starvation for those who cannot and will not and refuse to take the mark. And we took a brief look at the timing, noting that the most likely time is during the Daniel's 70th week at the midpoint, when the beast rises from his position and ends sacrifice and begins a rampage against Christians and Jews. In this session, we will continue to take a look at other aspects of the mark. But let's jump right into our text, and I'd like to read all three verses. Beginning in verse 16, "He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Very interesting, intriguing verses in that passage. In part one, I explored the mandate by the false prophet to make the world take some mark on their right hand or on their forehead. It's a universal mark, a universal mandate where no one is exempt. The purpose, as with the miracles earlier in that chapter, and the image that people are commanded to bow down to, is simply this: to bring the world into submission and into the worship of the beast of the sea, whom is Satan's representation here on planet Earth. Satan has always desired that worship, and he will push hard now at end times to get that worship. Refusal to take this mark will lead to severe economic consequences. The inability to buy or sell implies loss of employment, the inability to buy the necessities of life, food, clothing, shelter. In the last session, we explored in depth the mark that is placed on the right hand or forehead. This mark, whatever it may eventually be, makes a public declaration of who you belong to and who you pledge allegiance to. In other words, you are a follower of the beast of the sea, otherwise known as the Antichrist, and ultimately Satan himself. Also in part one, we showed the difficulties Christians will have during this time of extreme persecutions. Christians will be faced with some very difficult decisions and choices to make. Our pre-tribulation rapture brothers and sisters, and they are brothers and sisters, will quickly claim that Christians will not be here. We were raptured out, they say, before all these things come to pass, so we needn't worry about this. Well, I'd just like to look at a few reasons why this position doesn't hold water, so to speak. So let's take a look at some of these. Let's stick to Revelation And teachings of this way may even be not only just wrong, but dangerous. I'm always concerned that our churches, our Christians, will not be prepared. And these false teachings of us not being here, when they start, will bring doubts to many people's mind. So let's look just at a few verses from Revelation alone. Beginning in chapter 13 of Revelation, verse 7. The beast says he will overcome the saints. Well, by this time in Revelation, when it was written, the term saints included Jews and Christians. In other words, those separated to God. You'd have to ask yourself this question, why are the saints still here if the rapture has already occurred? What saints are these? Revelation 13, verse 10 states the saints will need patience and faith. But why, if they had been raptured? Again, what saints? Revelation chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. The martyrs under the altar. This is the fifth seal. They show saints have died and more to come. Certainly the fifth seal is within the 70th week of Daniel. Certainly saints must be here during this week. In Revelation 12, verse 17, a very compelling verse. It has the dragon, who is Satan, coming after Christians in the end, called those who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Shows the woman, represents Israel, is said to be protected for 3.5 years in the wilderness. This matches the reign of the Antichrist over the last half of the 70th week. But if Christians are being chased by this Antichrist in the last 3.5 years, then we must be here. We could not have been raptured out. Lastly, Revelation 20, verse 4, shows the beheaded for not taking the mark, receiving a special blessing. These are Christians again, a witness to Jesus, not taking the mark of the beast. And that's just a few of them. All these verses point to the presence of Christians at this time. Oh, there are many other reasons the pre-tribulation rapture fails, but let's just stick to these verses alone for now, and they are sufficient to debunk the pre-tribulation rapture view. The pre-wrath rapture view makes much more sense in light of these facts alone. Christians will be caught up prior to the wrath of God falling upon earth. We are not appointed to the wrath of God, but many will encounter the wrath of the Antichrist and the false prophet, including this very difficult time of extreme persecution. Having addressed that, let's turn our attention back to Revelation chapter 13, verse 17, and the issue of buying and selling. 13:17 says this, "And that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name." Now, we've talked about the mark in the last session, but just a quick review. Notice who is affected by the mark mandate. No one may buy or sell. It means everyone in the entire world will be affected. This edict will be worldwide, as we understand the Antichrist will attempt to reign over the entire earth. He will have the finest and highest level of surveillance the world has ever seen. But even today, there will always be an underground economy. For those who refuse the mark, they will need to figure out how to tap into this system in order to survive. It will be here where Christians will help Christians. Churches, they'll no longer be a safe place to be. So small pockets of believers will need to help one another. Even so, many will be found out and be imprisoned or die. Briefly, look at the word, the mark. It's mentioned 8 times in Revelation. 5 of those 8 times, it mentions only the mark, all by itself. But all 8 mention the mark. Thus, the mark is the focal point of all of these verses. I said that 5 out of the 8 verses mention only the mark. Well, 3 combine it with the other two items found in chapter 13, verse 17. Look again at that verse. No one may buy or sell except one who has the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. So let's take a look at the name of the beast, or the number of his name, because that seems to be linked to the mark. We also seen similar linkings in chapter 14, verse 11. It adds a definition to the term mark by stating mark of his name. And then there's always chapter 15, verse 2, where now the mark is linked to the number of his name. So let's kind of drill down a little bit into these little nuances. The New King James Version and the King James Version on chapter 13, verse 17, seems to imply three different items here, as if three different items were named: the mark, the name, or the number. They insert the word or between all three. Look again at that in the New King James, or the King James if you have it. It says, no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name, seeming to apply that there are three different items in mind. However, read Revelation 14:11, as it states that the mark is of his name. Read 14:11 to gather that context. It says here, and the smoke of their torment ascends. We're talking about those who have taken the mark forever and ever. They have no rest, day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. It seems to be defining one of the characteristics or qualities of the mark. Here, the mark incorporates or includes his name. Biblically, someone's name is meant to describe all of who that person is. Therefore, it is meant to describe Satan. It's meant to describe the beast of the sea. So it would be reasonable to state that the mark will display all of who the beast is, everything that is evil. I think a better translation of this verse 17 is found in the ESV version, and it reads, so that no one can buy or sell who does not have the mark, that is, the name of the beast or the number of its name. Say that again. That is, what is the mark? The mark that is the name of the beast or the number of its name. It seems to be adding definition to what the mark is. So the mark will incorporate the name, and the name incorporates the number. The details of what this mark looks like are still unknown today, but the characteristics are clear. The mark will be a representation of who the beast is. What does it mean to have the name of the beast? Well, having the name of something, I mean, even in our society today, is declaring that you have a relationship with or a connection with something or someone. We see this in marriage, where a woman takes the last name of her husband as her own. It declares a relationship or an allegiance to him, marked by a ring, and the husband does likewise. We also see other names or labels we may take, such as Packer fan or Republican. These names represent the characteristics behind that name. Likewise, and therefore, the person who takes the name of the beast, takes that mark, will be pledging a relationship or an allegiance to the Antichrist. The passage does not say exactly how this will be displayed through the mark, but it will. Perhaps one could belong to the beast through technology, where we will be identified as belonging to the name of the beast. So it's much more than just taking a tattoo. This concept is also applied to God's people. If we look over in Revelation 22, verse 4, we'll see a certain similarity. It's talking about the people of God seeing the Lamb or seeing Jesus. They will see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads. Again, a mimicking, a declaring of who you belong to by the name on the forehead. How interesting Satan imposes the deception onto the people of the world. How did the name get on there? How did it get on people's foreheads? Very simply, through belief in Jesus as Savior. Thus, believers took and have and possess His name. So it makes sense that those who have the name of the beast have likewise put their full faith and trust in the beast of this world. This would be the height of blasphemy. Secondly, what does it mean to have the number of the beast? This would be in many ways similar to having the name of the beast. Yet what do we do? And what do we make of this number? Now, there have been a multitude of interpretations as to what this number could be. Some have tried to discover a name for the beast by interpreting the number 666 into a name. Many have tried to calculate the proper name. Many have tried to calculate by using numbering systems to get the name of the beast by using various methods of converting numbers to letters. Some have put forth names such as Barack Obama, Trump, the Pope, and even Allah. This appears futile and only leads to useless speculations. There may be a literal application to this number, but at this point in time, it would be best to view this in a more symbolic way. The number 666 can be broken down into a combination of the number 6 three times, where the number 6 stands for the number of man. And we'll see that in verse 18 in a few moments. 3 times 6 could also stand for the three beings that highlight a man's rebellion against God: the Antichrist, the false prophet, and Satan himself. This would be in direct opposition to our Trinitarian God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which could be presented as 777, the number of perfection, three times. The number 6 falls short of the perfection of God and highlights the sinfulness of man. How someone has the number is not further elaborated on. It could be applied in a symbolic manner or in a literal way, like being branded with the number 666 or some representation of that number that identifies you as belonging to Satan himself or the beast of the sea at the very least. I'll conclude this session with a final verse, verse 18 of chapter 13. It says, "Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Wisdom is more than just having knowledge. It is the ability to use knowledge to gain understanding. This is a call to discernment. Revelation 19:20 states that those who receive the mark will be the deceived. Therefore, we'll take wisdom and understanding and great discernment to see who this beast is and what he is up to and avoid being deceived. Be alert. Be ready. Stand firm should be our encouragement to one another, and be wise." This verse also reinforces the teaching that Christians will be here at the time of the Antichrist, and therefore could not be raptured out before, because only Christians can have this kind of wisdom and understanding. Therefore, the presence of Christians in the world is necessary and alluded to. Notice clearly stated, it is the number of man. Here we read the number of the beast and the number of man are the same. Therefore, the similarities between the beast and man must be extraordinary. If the beast has the number of man, we rightfully can conclude he must be a man. And he is. The beast is a man, yet he is empowered, indwelt, and led by the demonic spiritual forces of Satan. Mankind at this time in history will be more like their father, Satan, than their creator, God. I can only think of John 8:44 when he looked at the Pharisees and he's looked at them and he said, "Your father is of the devil." This will be the world at the time of the end. Consequences of taking the mark are eternal and severe. Take a brief look at Revelation 14, verses 9 through 11. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image and whoever receives the mark of his name." Pausing and meditating on that should bring shivers. It should bring us to wanting to tell our brothers and sisters, all of our friends and neighbors, just to avoid these final days of those who may be tempted to take the mark. Well, I want to give you some final thoughts and maybe something to chew on before we get to lesson three or part three of three. Is having the mark or name or number of the beast a final condemnation of a person's eternal destiny? Can someone undo the taking of the mark? Can someone take the mark in pretense in order to live? These types of questions have stirred quite a fiery debate amongst believers. There are some staunch and impassioned answers on both sides of these questions. These will need their own discussion and their own podcast, so we'll look at that separately as we explore what that may mean. Well, we'll look forward to discussing that in part three of three, Marked for Death. As always, I point you to www.zionshope.org for further teachings on eschatology and other biblical topics. Please look forward to the final segment of Marked for Death in the near future. Until then, may God bless you richly and grant you the wisdom needed during these trying times. As always, keep alert, be ready, and look up. Shalom and grace.
Thanks for listening to Bible Prophecy Daily. We hope you learned something valuable today. Be sure to subscribe wherever you heard this podcast so you never miss an episode.